Now let's put the spotlight on public transport, because apparently, according to the figures from TransLink, public transport is at a 20-year high. And this is really good news for those who are encouraging us to get out of our cars. Let me speak to a man who's rarely in his car, Jamie DeLargy. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jamie, you don't even like driving. Am I being right when I say that you're almost born as a user of public transport?
That's correct. No, I don't like driving. I would prefer to use public transport. One is very much limited because the services are not as frequent as you would like, as you would possibly need. I mean, I live off the Ravenhill Road. It's not a great service down the Ravenhill Road, but the Ormore Road, just a bit further on, has a very good bus service. And my I suppose, coming round to it, if you're asking me what do I think of the way that TransLink has been performing on a personal basis, and I think this will find an echo in callers. I think that services have improved enormously. I travelled not so long ago from Oma on the Gold Line service, very good Wi-Fi. On the train to Lisburn not so long ago, excellent service. Bus fine, you know, in and out of town. Haven't been on the glider. It doesn't run down our area. But my personal experience is that the service has been hugely enhanced, and that it is a lot more comfortable than it was a number of years ago. If you look, then I suppose taking a step backwards and looking at the whole scene, 4 years ago, the audit office was pretty critical of public transport in Northern Ireland, saying that it had got over £1 billion of investment in the first 10 years of this century. But it said passenger numbers hadn't increased significantly and the car remained the dominant mode of transport. So it was basically telling a DRD, now Department for Infrastructure, that it had to get more people onto public transport and out of their cars. Now, so in other words, I dare say that picture has improved with the figures you've just announced there recently and in recent years, but there probably is a job of work to do. But you have to say this, and I'll finish off this particular point. There have been, TransLink has had to cope with two issues that have given it considerable difficulty in the past. The troubles, which drove people when all the bus burning, and it drove people off buses and into their cars. And then secondly, I think that Stormont had a sort of roads-based policy, and public transport probably didn't get all the investment it should. In fact, the audit office acknowledges that public transport here remains relatively underfunded compared with Great Britain. So there are reasons, substantial reasons, why public transport maybe isn't as good as it should be in terms of the numbers of people travelling on buses and trains.
There's a couple of things jumping out there. First one is, are you under an umbrella and is it raining very heavily on you?
No, I'm not, and I hope that has just disappeared, but I'm not. I'm actually sitting in my office here. I think the rain effect has disappeared. Are you hearing that it's gone?
Yeah, there was a rain effect coming down my line. I don't know what that noise was at all. Maybe you were getting it as well. The other thing is, you said you went on the Gold Liner to Oma.
Now, from Oma.
From Oma. Whether to or from hardly matters, because this is the important thing. You are a man who many would see as being successful in your life. You have a public profile. You would, I'm sure, have earned enough money to run a half-decent car, and I happen to know that you have a very nice family car which you rarely drive. Did you not feel, when you were on the bus from Oma, that people might be saying you'd fallen on hard times?
Well, I've always had this feeling, not so much if you're travelling a longer distance, but if you, when you see, and this is a terrible thing. When you see someone on a bus dressed in a suit, and this is historical, really.
Yeah.
When you see someone on a bus, a man or a woman, and they're obviously like a business type, you wonder what has happened to make them. Has the car just gone on the blink? Have they suddenly have they not been able to get a taxi?
Have they lost their license? That's what you think, isn't it?
You wonder. So, but I think at TransLink, I think the service has, if you like, gone beyond that, and it is not something that you think it is for people who have a particular problem. I think that TransLink has managed through Glider, through the new trains, through the frequent service now that you would see on some of the roads like the Omo Road, has managed to create a sort of an atmosphere that I think the people, you don't ask those questions anymore. It was probably daft to ask them in the past, but you don't ask them anymore. It's a service that is worth using, it's worth patronising, and I think that it's probably managed to shake off the sort of image that you're talking about.
Would it have anything at all to do with the fact that you get a free bus pass?
Well, that does help, but that's not the only reason that I've been using public transport. I would be using it. I think probably a definite. Well, look, own up. I am using it more because I've got a free bus pass. But it's not. I've got a bus pass which now, because I've reached the age of 65, I can go free to Dublin. But I haven't chosen to do it. Because simply just to avail of the free journey. So, you know, I think I'm using the bus as much as I would, if you like. I'll rephrase that. There's no doubt that I'm using it more frequently because I can travel for free, but I think that I am attracted to the new services because of their quality.
Well, in fairness, Jimmy, you always were a public transport sort of bloke, and of course you used a bicycle and all those things when no one else was using a bicycle. So you're leading from the front on it and very well positioned to speak with regards to your acceptance and recognition and, I suppose, appreciation of public transport. You may like to listen to Tim Hedgley, who's a travel writer, who I don't think is such an advocate. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Frank.
Tim, you're not a regular on the buses, trains, and the public transport options like the Glider?
No, I live out in Carrickfergus. For example, if I wanted to take the bus to Belfast, that would take me in excess of an hour. Now, we're 12 miles away from Belfast city centre. An hour on the bus to get to Belfast. Now, I could take the train where I'm located. It's not just that handy. But there are a number of things that Transport NI or TransLink, I think, could do. When you're going from satellite towns, say from Belfast to Omagh, Belfast to Legendary, or Belfast to Ballymena, that's not bad. But try and get from Omagh to Ballymena or from Legendary to Larne, for example. When you're crossing the main spots, then you're going to find that you've got major issues, because that rural side of the service and the connectivity is not good for people. Now, I do a bit of voluntary work, and I know out in Larne, some people that come to a place that I do volunteering, they find it extremely difficult to use transport. We had one chap who came from Ballymena and tried to get to Larne. You have to go to Belfast by train and then try and get a train or a bus out to Larne to get from Ballymena. So the connectivity for the rural transport users is very difficult. And I firmly believe that our Glider should have been a tram. You know, every other country in the world or major cities in the world are putting back in the electric trams because they're green, they're eco-friendly, they're good for, you know, easy for people to step on and step off for wheelchair users, and we get dirty diesel buses. Really?
So you're not impressed, Tim. Just one point, Jamie, and you would know a bit about rural transport. Tim makes a very good point about out in the country, it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, 2 points there. One was that I think that he was suggesting that going from a rural spot or a rural town to Belfast, let's say, is fairly straightforward, but the crossing the country, crisscrossing the country, is very difficult. I doubt if that's very different here from anywhere else in Great Britain. That it tends to be sort of like a hub and spoke type arrangement. That all if you were in Paris, it'd be easier to get in from Paris down to Toulouse than it would be maybe crisscrossing from Toulouse to somewhere else. I think the reality is that in most countries, the transport system tends to be, well, not probably in every country, but in many countries, it tends to be focused on taking people from rural areas, from towns, directly towards the main city or main cities, depending on the size of the country.
Okay, Jamie, thank you. Tim Hedgley, thank you as well. I want to speak to Ian Campbell, and Ian Campbell is very much associated with TransLink. He's the Director of Service Operations. Just by the way, there's a crash on the A1 dual carriageway going towards Belfast at Dromara at the turnoff just past Hillsborough. So that's the turnoff there for Dromara, and it's on the A1 dual carriageway. A lot of hold-ups. If you're heading really from Banbridge into Belfast, you will be well and truly delayed there. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
And listening to two commentators there, Jamie DeLargy, who's very favourable with his word for public transport in Northern Ireland at this present moment, even allowing himself to compare it to France. Now, I know the reason he did that, because he was talking about the hub and the spokes, but many people would be listening thinking, oh, if only we had a transport service like they do on the continent. We are in the dark ages here compared to that. But we have made significant progress over the last 20 years, going by your research and by your figures. Tim Hedgley, the travel writer, says out in the country, however, out in the countryside, it really is difficult. So, first of all, Ian, put your pitch on behalf of TransLink. Why are you flying a flag and opening the champagne this morning?
Not sure about champagne. It was tea this morning, Frank. But look, no, we're absolutely delighted with the performance of public transport in Northern Ireland over the last 12 months. We've carried 84.5 million people. As you say, that's the highest in over 20 years. And people vote with their feet, Frank. That's an additional 3.4 million additional passenger journeys. And to put that another way, that's taking 2.8 million car journeys off the roads. So not only are people getting the benefit of green public transport, but also it does reduce congestion on our roads.
That's what you're setting out to achieve, isn't it? That's primarily what you're setting out to achieve. That's what the Department of Infrastructure need you to do. That's why you're getting the investment.
Very much. So it is about reducing congestions on the roads. It's also about moving people and moving the economy. And, research across the world shows that where you have a very strong public transport system, the economy follows, that you will end up with strong growth in whatever country has a good public transport system.
So we've got the very obvious recent investment in the glider that seems to be working in Belfast. There's a very fond word for the glider, and they always seem to be relatively busy. But the question mark remains over our train service. People complain about the train service and the limited options. Now, you can't wave a magic wand and automatically open lines to the west, but whoever decided at some point in the past to curtail the trains did us a serious disservice, didn't they?
Look, we would take the view that we would like to see growth across all the modes. And talking about glider, first of all, yeah, you're right, Frank. The new glider system, we have seen huge growth. On the routes that glider serves, we're carrying an extra 45,000 people every week. And that's an increase of 25%. And it wasn't just new vehicles, not just the new glider vehicles that have been success. That was also the new off-board ticketing and also the prioritisation for buses from east to west Belfast. In terms of rail, we have seen significant growth yet again on railways, and they have been hugely successful. In the last 10 years, we've seen over 130% increasing the number of people using the rail network. And in fact, we're at the stage now where we're nearly victims of our own success. We're having now to go out and buy further train carriages simply to provide more seats for the people on existing services. In terms of rolling further service out, I think what we would like to do is increase frequency and increase capacity on the existing rail network, prioritise that, but we do recognise that the rail network only serves certain parts of the province. That is why we will continue to review our Gold Line network. We have 30 brand new state-of-the-art Gold Line vehicles coming in, which are going to provide additional services, particularly between Belfast, Newry, and the cross-border services to Dublin, as well as Derry to Dublin. So we would be mindful that, look, we are targeting improved public transport, not only in the conurbations around Greater Belfast and Greater Foyle, but for everybody in Northern Ireland.
Are you doing enough for the rural dweller, however? The Gold Line may pass through the big market towns, but the rural dweller, the guy who maybe lives on a farm or lives in a small holding or is in a hamlet and he or she wants to get to the shops, there isn't much for the country person.
I think Jamie summarised that very well. I think rural transport, certainly across Europe, is a challenge. One thing I would say is across Ulster Bus, which serves the rural community, we have seen growth in the last 12 months in Northern Ireland, and that very much bucks the trend in terms of what we've seen in Great Britain. So there are more people using those services, and where we see increased footfall, that leads to increased service. But look, rural transport is a challenge, and I recognise that, and that's something which we'll keep under constant review.
And just a couple of other questions. The Irby, is that a relatively new thing? I see signs for the Irby and stops for the Irby, or have I just been living in an area where we didn't have the Irby? Explain the Irby to people who aren't aware of it.
Irby is a new service. It's best way to describe it. It provides a rail-like service for those customers in and around Greater Belfast that don't have access to the railway network. So, for example, the first two routes that we rolled out were Ballyclare and Newtownards into the centre of Belfast. They're served by high-spec, low-emission double-deck buses, actually built here in Northern Ireland by Wrightbus. Those vehicles provide a frequent, high-quality service, e-leather seats, Wi-Fi on board, USB charging for your mobile devices. And I must admit, they've gone down exceptionally well with our customers, and we're seeing double-digit growth on both of those routes.
And finally, Ian, because I know we have a caller waiting to raise this point, and I'll ask it to you and then I can discuss it with the caller. The taxi representatives feel they're disadvantaged in terms of public investment, whereas TransLink gets the lion's share. What do you say to the taxi people who feel that they are a public service, a public transport provider? And I'm primarily talking about the black taxis.
The key issue, I think, is that public transport is about keeping people on the move. And I mentioned earlier that a strong public transport system reduces congestion for all road users. Now, what I would say, Frank, is, look, whilst we have achieved some success in terms of carrying more people on public transport in Northern Ireland, the level of funding that's currently being put into public transport is 50% less in Northern Ireland than most other regions in the UK. So, look, we would be keen to see a renewed focus on public transport supported by a rebalancing of funding priorities. And that's essential to keep everybody on the move and reduce congestion. And that'll also free up the roads for the taxis and other road users.
So you've a sympathetic ear for black taxi operators that would be complaining about being overlooked.
Well, it's about we recognise that there is a role for taxis in providing transport solutions for people. Our focus clearly is on mass transit of the population, and again reducing congestion, but also clean air. A lot of our planned investment in the future will be focused on zero emission buses. Rail is significantly environmentally friendlier and has a lower carbon footprint than all other modes. So it's not only about moving people, but it's also improving the environment.
And finally, that big hub that you're opening near the Europa Hotel, is it going to be state of the art? Is it going to have an impact province wide, or might it just be a fancy looking depot for buses?
I think the new Belfast Transport Hub, not only will it be fantastic for Belfast, it will involve significant regeneration of that area, as you say, around Great Victoria Street bus station, but also will provide a gateway then into the Northern Ireland. It's where people will travel into the province, they'll go to the hub, and then there will be onward connections from there to all parts of the province.
It sounds exciting. It really does. Public transport is the future. Public transport is the future. So we've got to encourage it. Absolutely. And it's good to see that the figures are on the up. Thanks for the overview, Ian. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you very much. Ian Campbell is from TransLink. He's the Director of Services Operations. Now, a lot of you want to talk about this, and I'm going to give you your spick, as they say. You can give us a ring now, 02890-333-105. Patiently waiting some people. I'll be talking to you right after this.
You 105. Stop the bus. All next week on U105 Breakfast and Drive, we will be giving away over £1,000 worth of vouchers for Metro travel to help you enjoy the perfect summer in and out of the city. Enjoy Belfast at its best and let Metro bring the city closer to you for work or pleasure with convenient travel to explore what's at your door. Catch up with friends and see the city with a great value journey with a Metro travel card. Tune in and win a slice of the prize only on U105.
Gin is in, darling. Maybe, say, a delectable jawbox rhubarb and ginger gin, or an adventurous ginly tipple with pineapple. At Malone Lodge Hotel's first ever jawbox gin night on Saturday the 1st of June, you'll get a scrumptious gin cocktail on arrival and three delectable courses paired with jawbox gin and tonics, darling. Ticket at £40 per person. Book now on 9038 8000 or malonelodgehotelbelfast.com.
Day 237, and after many months of hacking through the urban jungle in search of the mythical perfect tile, I have finally discovered the source of the best value kitchen and bathroom tiles, the source of gargantuan choice. They call it Tile Source.
Shut up, Brian. Just concentrate on choosing the right tiles. They've got to pick their kids up soon.
Sorry, love.
Tile Source Kennedy Way. The end of all your tile searching.
If you have the volume turned up high to hear this message, or you find it difficult to hear the conversation between family and friends, you may be experiencing a degree of hearing loss. But don't worry. Hidden Hearing can help. Because right now, we're giving away 900 free hearing aid samples so you can experience the real difference it can make to your hearing and your life. So apply for your free hearing aid sample now by calling 0800 085 9550. For better hearing tomorrow, call Hidden Hearing today.
Our bank holiday sale is now on at Benson's, so you can wake up at your best every day. Get 20% off all beds and mattresses and half price on selected bedroom furniture with free delivery and 0% interest-free credit for 3 years. Our bank holiday sale ends Tuesday at Benson's. 0% APR, credit subject to status. Minimum spend applies.
It's a really special place, and sharing that with my grandkids has been a real joy in my life.
It has beautiful bird song. The noise of the water. You just get a lovely, peaceful feeling inside.
There's just so much beauty around here. It just makes me want to go back again and again.
These are the places that make us. Find your place. Search National Trust.
Hear that? That's the wild Atlantic Way calling you. And with our Great Donegal Escape offer here at the Redcastle Oceanfront Golf and Spa Hotel, you can afford to answer it. Two nights bed and breakfast with three-course evening meal in our award-winning restaurant, complete with glass of bubbly and chocolates on arrival. All on the beautiful shores of Loch Foyle, County Donegal. And all from just £109 per person sharing. Visit redcastlehoteldonegal.com for details.
I like Lidl. Never want to miss a barg.
Like big brand super savers. Heinz baked beans, 3-pack, £1.50. Antero Golden Wonder, 22-pack, £1. And weekend super savers. Veggie burgers, 66p. And Goodfellas thin crust pizza, £1.50. No FOMO for me.
Lidl. Big on quality, Lidl on price.
Gone?
Bid for your next car and drive it away at the next Wilson's Auctions car auction. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 in Belfast and every Monday and Wednesday at 6 in Portadown. Loads of models, including Charles Hirst trade-ins with stock changing daily. Check out the next Wilson's Auctions car auction now at wilsonsauctions.com.
Got to speak to Stephen, who's been patiently waiting. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
TransLink, a 20-year high, public transport, 20-year high, and TransLink obviously feeling very good about this. What do you think, Stephen?
I have an issue mainly with what I would call Ulster Bus, the blue buses, Frank. The metro service is fantastic. I'm a registered blind person. The metro service is fantastic. The train service is fantastic. They're more than helpful. The biggest issue is with the Ulster Bus service, the blue bus service. They have not moved forward in referral to disabled people at all. There is, I mean, perfect example was, you know, I mean, once you get out of Belfast, it's good. You don't even have to get that far out of Belfast, Frank. I was travelling from Finnickey to Lisburn, and I waited for 40 minutes with a girl in a mobility scooter, a young girl in a mobility scooter who was seriously disabled. And the bus came 40 minutes later, and it had steps up, and that girl couldn't get on that bus because that bus was a school bus and they were getting it into possession for the school run. It's just it's the Ulster Bus service for disabled people.
Let me stop you there, Stephen. You sort of lost me when you said it was a school bus and they were getting it into position for the school run. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, they have brought these new school buses in that have three steps up into them, three very big high. Even I had problems getting on that bus. Three very high steps to get up onto the bus.
And what about, because you've suggested that the other buses, the metro and the likes of the glider, the buses like that, have easy access facilities.
They have easy access facilities for disabled people.
Okay, you know, okay. So if they have that, why would a school bus not have that? Do they not have any disabled children or children who need assistance or use wheelchairs going to school?
Well, this was my point as well. You know, I mean, how does a disabled child use this bus? You know, what I mean, it's and I've sent emails, Frank. It's been I only lost my sight about 2 years ago, Frank. Up until then, I was driving on average 1,000 miles a week. So, I've been sort of went from being a major road user to a major transport user for my independence, and I have such an, you know, and to say that the system in Belfast is fantastic because the system in Belfast is the Metro Red Bus service, and they call out each stop on the bus. You mean they call out, and they're more than helpful. Now I have nothing to say against the drivers. The drivers are fantastic. They'll help you in any way they can. Same on the trains. You mean they have access ramps now to get disabled people in wheelchairs on the trains. They'll even put the access ramp out for me. To get down the ramp, it's fantastic. But the Ulster Bus service, the blue bus service, once you get out of Belfast, it's atrocious.
Well, it's a very strong point that you're making there, Stephen. Unfortunately, we don't have Ian with us anymore in relation to disabled access to an Ulster bus. It's something I'll try and get an answer for you. Why is there disabled access on the metro, on the likes of the glider and on the train, but not on Ulster bus? Thanks for raising it, Stephen. I'll try and get an answer for you. It's a very relevant, it's an exceptionally relevant point. Robert was the gentleman who was raising the issue about the taxis. And we knew what Robert's point was going to be. I was able to put that to Ian. Ian had some sympathy for the taxis. It wasn't his main agenda, obviously, Robert. Why do you see TransLink getting a major advantage over your guys with the black taxis?
Well,
Well, the first point I have to say to you, Frank, here very clearly is one of the best radio producers in the country, Ricky, is leaving the day. I'm terrible sorry to hear one of your best radio producers leaving. I wish somebody in there had got their act together and increased his salary, Frank, you know, to keep him there, because he's really good.
I offered to give him half of mine, and he still wouldn't stay. But listen, let me echo what you're saying, Robert. Ricky Thompson, who's produced this programme for the last 5 or 6 years, is actually leaving today. And if he hasn't been here 5 or 6 years, it seems like 5 or 6 to me, because he's certainly shoehorned that amount of work into a shorter period of time. He's one of the most gifted producer journalists that I've ever worked with in radio or TV, and he will be missed. So, Robert, what's your point about the buses?
Well, the first point I would make, Frank, the Department for Infrastructure are over all transport, buses, taxis. Now, truthfully and honestly, TransLink can't run its own steam. The Department of Infrastructure, taxis pay high PSVs on a yearly basis. They pay for operator's license and all that. The point I'm really going to get at here, Frank, there is no investment from the Department of Infrastructure. And truthfully and honestly, check the second phase of the glider bus is going to be from Kerry Duff to Newton Abbey. You've got West East or East West, whatever way you want to pronounce it. It has wiped out taxi trade during the day, the glider bus. Truthfully, under the control of it, follow this, it's under the control of the Department of Infrastructure, who control all the taxis, control all the buses, etc. I do not know where they're coming from, because at what point are they going to force taxis out of business?
Having said that, if it is so successful, well, then it's working, isn't it? Where people are able to step on and step off, and they don't need the taxis on that east-west, west-east route. They can go the whole way from Twinbrook to Stormont, or Stormont via the Titanic Centre to Twinbrook, without needing to take a taxi. There'll be people who think that's progress.
But Frank, you know, it's like a chicken and egg situation. And secondly, this is highly important. I've heard Ian Owen talking about, you know, about they're going electric. They're trying to get everything electric. Now, other parts of the United Kingdom, and black taxis, which are £55,000 electric to buy, how could you ask a hard-working class taxi driver who is barely getting by and to make a living and to survive on a daily basis? Why is there not an investment from the Department of Infrastructure across the United Kingdom? Is run, all the taxi services are run by councils. Here it is run by the Department of Infrastructure. The biggest, where is the Department of Infrastructure getting finances from? They're getting them from the taxi drivers right across the country who are yearly PSD. Are you aware that it's cheaper to put a 72-seater bus through a PSV centre than it is a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-seater taxi? It's dear for a taxi to get through a PSV centre, or an MOT centre, as you want to call it. It's dear for to put from 1 to 8 passengers in a taxi through a test centre. It's more expensive to put that through than a 72-seater bus. But you explain that, Frank, for one example?
Yeah, well, obviously you are paying your way. The taxi people are paying their way, for sure. But if they've got a whole series of little black units that are spitting out diesel fumes through the city, and the option is electric or low-emission buses with possibly electric engines in them in the very near future, like, a blind man on a galloping horse would know that that is the better option, to spend the money on the advantage to the environment that comes from the electric buses.
Can I come back to you, Frank? Frank, can I come back to you?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, Frank, you know, why is there no there's more buses presently as we speak throwing out more pollution and buses. Remember this, Frank, that all the transport in Belfast city centre, it's only a very, very minimal that they're on electric. Now, they're throwing out more fumes than what you're making is in the black taxis. My point here is very simple, Frank. Why doesn't the Department of Infrastructure get their act together like other councils around the United Kingdom and subsidise the taxis to go electric?
Okay, that's it. It's a valid question. Robert, thank you for asking it. This is the U105 phone-in. Your opinions on public transport. Very welcome. Good morning.